will help you reduce AWS costs 15 to 50% if you do what it tells you. But some people do. For example, watch their webcast, How Uber Reduced AWS Costs 15% in 30 Days. That is six figures in 30 days, rather than a thing you might do. This is something that they actually did. Take a look at it. It's designed for DevOps teams, and Ops helps quickly discover the root causes of cost and correlate that with infrastructure changes. Try it free for 30 days. Go to nops.io/snark. That's nops.io/snark. Recently, we hosted two Q&A sessions fielding all sorts of questions from the audience about the world of AWS. Here's what we had to say about savings plans. What in the world are savings plans anyway, and how do they work? Savings plans take a look every hour to determine how much you're spending in on-demand compute, EC2 instances, Fargate tasks, and Lambda functions. Note that they do not apply to spot instances, since, by definition, those aren't on-demand. Let's say that you end up spending $5 an hour every hour on average for an entire month, which would be $3,650 in total on-demand monthly spend. Using a savings plan, you can commit to that $5 level of spend, and then your on-demand spend becomes zero. This gives you a varying level of discount based upon what kind of compute you're using and even what type of EC2 instance is in play. In practice, though, very few people have a straight-line level of spend like that. Some hours might be $2, while others might be $20, depending entirely upon how elastic your workloads are. The problem with this model is that you can only commit to what's going to be a solid baseline. If you're turning your systems off at night and you're only down to $2 of spend, committing to more than that dollar amount means you're going to be leaving money on the table and wasting some capacity. Figuring out the best commit number can be tricky. The big benefit of savings plans? Flexibility. You don't have to commit to any particular instance type, family, operating system, or even compute type. It's definitely a win over reserved instances, and never mind that RIs aren't available for Lambda or Fargate anyway. What are the savings plans options I have to consider? Savings plans and reserved instances share a sort of billing model. Why would you buy any one thing when you have options to choose from? AWS is beholden to a very weird form of corporate analysis paralysis. You can't just buy a savings plan. You need to figure out whether you want a compute savings plan or an instance savings plan, and whether you want the commitment to last 1 year or three. There are also three different payment options to consider. The first is all upfront, where you pay a giant lump sum on the front end and then don't pay anything else. The second is that you pay nothing upfront, and then you have a monthly recurring charge. And the third is a combination of the two, where you pay a smaller lump sum upfront and then have smaller monthly recurring charges. Which one is right for you? Ask someone in finance. But pack a lunch, because it's going to be a long conversation. When should I use a compute savings plan versus an EC2 instance savings plan? There are two kinds of savings plans for some godforsaken reason. Instance savings plans and compute savings plans. EC2 instance savings plans have a slightly boosted discount, but come with all the terrible aspects of reserved instance planning without the good part of being able to get the hell rid of it on the secondary market if you make a mistake. In general, you're going to want to opt for a compute savings plan as a sensible default. Sure, at some point, on a very large scale, it might potentially make sense to use an EC2 instance savings plan for the workloads you know for a fact you're not going to be moving for the next 3 years. But other than that, the flexibility that's afforded to you by going with the compute savings plan is going to be the better path for almost everyone. If you're looking to wind up standing up infrastructure but don't want to spend 6 months going to cloud school first, consider Linode. They've been doing this far longer than I have. They're straightforward to get started with. Their support is world-class. You'll get an actual human empowered to handle your problem rather than passing you off to someone else like some ridiculous game of ticket tennis. And they are cost competitive with any other provider out there, with better performance in almost every case. Visit linode.com/morningbrief to learn more. That's linode.com/morningbrief. What's next for savings plans? The problem with savings plans as they're currently structured is that they're only applying to compute. While they do cover Lambda, EC2, and Fargate, they don't cover a lot of other things. RDS instances would be a clear win, as would MSK, Elasticsearch, ElastiCache, S3, data transfer, and oh so many more things. I'd even argue a step further. By only applying this discounting to baseline primitives, AWS is discouraging customers from using higher-level managed services. Well, yes, MSK would be awesome, but I've already committed via savings plans for my Kafka fleet. So I'd be leaving money on the table if I use the thing that you manage for me for the next 2.5 years. It's a terrible situation to find yourself in, and it's a great example of AWS really working against itself in the customer conversation. I'd also like to see better stories around converting between RIs and savings plans. You can now schedule savings plan purchases, which in practice means it's being used to renew them when they expire so you're not exposed to on-demand spend, and have that set for future dates. But I'd like to see a direct translation that empowers customers to more flexibly move between various modes of paying. I know the customers sure would appreciate that too. That's fundamentally what I saw around savings plans. If you have additional questions, please reach out. I'm thrilled to answer them if I can, or point you in the right direction if I can't.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.